am I? Why am I here?
I don't know. I don't know. That is the question we always find ourselves asking on this Andy and Amanda program. Hi, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it might be in your corner of the world. We're here in our Los Angeles studios on the Coast to Coast Show, the Andy and Amanda Show. Amanda will be joining us, I think. Pretty sure she'll be here. Let's wake her up. Well, she'll wake me up. It's 5 o'clock. It's happy hour where she is there in the UK. Hey, everybody, how are we doing? It's another week on the Andy and Amanda Show. A lot of fun stuff going to happen this week. A lot of interesting guests. We're going to have an interesting guest joining us momentarily here on this Monday. I would say Monday morning. So it's Monday morning for me. It's not, you know, whatever time it is for you, so be it. A lot of news to discuss today. A lot of things happened over the weekend, and we're going to touch on a lot of it as much as we can get to anyway. And remember, we do not report the news on this show. We comment on what other people's reporting of the news, and we try to investigate that news to the extent that we can to find out what the source is and talk about whether that is of any merit or not, and comment accordingly. That's what we've had a lot of fun doing here on the show and will continue to do. And I want to start today talking about something that I recently came across, which was a New York Times story by an author by the name of Shane Goldmacher. And what Shane wrote was a story regarding his investigation that shows scores of former President Trump supporters unknowingly donated a lot of money to his campaign. Much more than they wanted to. They thought they may have signed up to send a single small order donation, like, you know, on your ATM card, your credit card, you know, you call up, you say, hey, I'll donate whatever, or you get online, usually online, and you donate to who, you know, whatever the case or cause or political operative may be, thinking that that'll be charged to your credit card, you'll get a bill for whatever you contributed, and that'll be the end of it. But however, the individuals that contributed to the Trump campaign saw thousands and thousands of dollars siphoned from their accounts. You know, the story is another big one in regards to the character of Trump and his campaign. I mean, in this respect, for example, a poor guy who is in hospice, and we all know what hospice is, who wanted to contribute to Donald Trump, was thinking, I really wanted to help this guy, Donald Trump. That was his, you know, the candidate for president that he wanted to support. And the guy wanted to take part in the election by contributing. But suddenly, more and more money kept getting withdrawn. He didn't know what to do. And this story was repeated time and time again, people having to shut down their bank accounts, people having to shut down their credit card, people having to, you know, all the money siphoned out by the Trump campaign. And what we find now is Trump campaign having to refund this money. Now, in all fairness, some of this happened on the Biden side as well, but 2% factor in the Trump campaign, it was 10%, and that's a huge, huge difference. Let's hear from the reporter who broke this story, Shane Goldmacher, from New York Times.
At the center of this is the fact that the Trump campaign last fall, while facing their own financial hardships, began pre-checking boxes to start withdrawing donations from their supporters every single week until the election. And at one point, as the election year, they actually extended the date to December 14th, to weeks beyond the election. And so for their supporters, these pre-check boxes meant that you had to wade through a bunch of fine print. And by the way, that fine print became longer and more complicated as those finances worsened for the Trump campaign. And if you didn't uncheck those boxes, you were opted in. And that kind of design, which critics have called dark patterns, entrapped tons of supporters of President Trump. And you can see it based on a few things. A, there are the individuals impacted, which is, you know, their stories can be really heartbreaking. But at scale, at the end of the campaign, or at the end of last year, rather, the Trump operation, so all their political committees, including with the Republican National Committee, had refunded more than 10% of every dollar that they had raised online through this website called WinRed, which is the donation processor for the Republican Party. 10% of every dollar they raised, that added up to more than $122 million. And to compare, the Biden operation had a refund rate of about 2.2%. So it's not even close to each other. And that rate was even higher at the end when they did these pre-check boxes every week. You saw this massive refund rate. There was a surge of phone calls to credit card companies where people said, I'm a victim of fraud. I don't know what happened here. Why is WinRed at the Trump campaign taking money out of my account every 7 days? People get their credit card bill a month later and they see, if they give $200, they see six charges. It's $1,200. Or if you gave $20 three times, you see 15 charges on your credit card. So all these supporters of the president who had these donations recurred every week, this money went right into the Trump campaign's bank account. And again, they were struggling financially in October. They had millions of dollars more in television ads booked entering that last month than they had dollars on hand. Now, after the election, they began refunding more and more of these money. People got their credit card bill. Let's say you were opted into this every week thing at the beginning of October. You got your credit card bill in early November. You say, hey, what is this? You'd call, you'd ask for a refund. And in fairness, the WinRed and the Trump campaign did, for the most part, give people refunds when they asked for them. But when they did, that meant a bunch of money coming back out of the Trump campaign coffers. So if you look after Election Day, while the president was making these charges, these unfounded charges that this election was stolen from him, he was raising tens of millions of dollars from his supporters. More, far more of that money went to paying off refunds than it did to the legal fight that he was engaged in November and December. And that's a big deal, right? This is how his supporters were told to give money after the election, and this is how it was actually spent.
And we all know, or if we didn't know, we know now that much of the funds that the Trump campaign was soliciting for his operations, his campaign debt, was actually being used to pay his legal defenses in the many lawsuits that he's is battling now and is going to be battling even more so as we move ahead. And my prediction here on the show, and this is not fact, this is my guesstimation, that we will start seeing at least one, probably more, but at least one Trump indictment as we approach the summer. I think it's going to take a couple of more months, and mark my word, we'll start seeing that as summer approaches, and it'll be interesting to follow. And of course, we've been following that on the show. Hey, folks, don't go away. We're going to be right back after this message with a very special guest. And I just want to let you know, my partner, my internet wife, as we know, who I've never met, her name is Amanda Love, and she's going to be joining us. She's trying to join us. We connect on this show over the internet, and there's some technical issues with that connection right now that she's trying to resolve, and I do hope she makes it on the program. We'll stand by and welcome her aboard as soon as these issues become remedied, and hopefully they will soon. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is, I'm so excited about this, we're going to bring on a very special guest from the recording music production industry. And as we all know, Amanda and I are both, our real jobs are full-time musicians. That's what we actually do for a living. And this program has become, I guess it's become a job to an extent. This is episode number 300 and something rather. But anyway, so whenever we get the opportunity to have a conversation with a professional in the music industry, as we have in the past, we're real excited about it because that's what we really do for a job. We all know that, right? Okay. So anyway, we're going to be right back after this message. Don't touch that dial.
Dear Mainland, aloha. My brother and I keep hearing about your fear of missing out, FOMO, running this way and that, to try and do every little thing. Maybe you don't worry about FOMO. Instead, maybe you try a little slow-mo with a cold cone of beer. Brother, you get FOMO. No more. One life, right? Don't blow it. Mahalo.
And we're back. Cone of beer. That is our beer of choice. Again, I was introduced to it for the first time when doing a music tour, which included some dates in Hawaii, and a great concert, by the way, in Hawaii Public Radio. That was a lot of fun. But anyway, the producer over there introduced me to Kona beer, and when I came back to the mainland, I looked for it, and lo and behold, found it at a place called Total Wine. They stock it, and Total Wine, I understand, is a national chain that you can get. I'm sure you can get other places, but Wine does carry Kona beer, and I highly recommend it if you haven't tried it yet. Anyway, Max, are you with us?
I sure am.
Welcome aboard. Hello. Welcome aboard the Andy and Amanda Show. We're minus Amanda right now, but we, you know, she is trying to join the program. Hopefully she will be joining us. But I want to welcome you to Coast to Coast and the Andy and Amanda Show. You're calling in from Philadelphia, am I right?
That is correct, from Philadelphia, yep.
Terrific. Max, tell us, you know, I know Cornell Butler, who's the show coordinator here, got hold of you, and you've been talking and made the connection to get you on our program. Tell us, I mean, I saw some of your bio and some of the products that you've been involved with and some of the folks that you've produced and your recording and a lot of really exciting, great stuff going on. Talk to us about it.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be with you guys, as you mentioned, fellow musicians, colleagues, so to speak. So I'm a music producer, a record producer from Philadelphia. I've been doing it for quite a while at this point, going on, I want to say, 15 years or so. Actually, if you include, you know, school, college, stuff, it becomes even more. So yeah, I have my own little studio here in Center City, Philadelphia, and I collaborate, I produce, I record, I write songs with many different talented people here in Philadelphia as well as around the world, as well, of course. And so that's basically what I do.
You go by studio name or your name you go by for our listeners if they wanted to look you up and read more?
So my producer name is Electric, no E at the front and Q at the end instead of the C, so Electric. And that's actually a funny story about that. A girl group a while ago, a girl group comprised of three teenagers basically gave me that name after they heard my music. So they said, hey, we got a name for you, Electric. And that kind of stuck around. And I've been Electric ever since. So
how have you been coping with the COVID crisis that we've all been dealing with, especially those in the entertainment industry that have been so heavily crippled, if you will, for lack of a better word, by this incredible, horrific crisis that's been affecting all of us over the last year? How have you been managing with that? I'm sure it's affected business.
Well, actually, so I've been kind of conflicted about this, and I've been talking to, you know, my close friends. It's for us creatives, and a lot of people sort of have similar outlook on this. For us creatives, it's been a blessing in disguise, so to speak. Obviously, it's horrible, we know, and a lot of people died, and people are still sick and all that. It's not pretty, but we creatives, especially studio rats like me, we're always stuck in the studio anyway. So, and then when pandemic hit and we were on the lockdown and we couldn't go anywhere, well, the only place I could be in is studio. So I was actually working through the entire, you know, pandemic, just working, not with people per se, but, just staying creative and, working on tracks and records and sending stuff to people, and people sending ideas to me. And so actually been pretty productive. So I try not to say that out loud too often, pandemic has been great for me. It's not like that, but I'm sensitive to other people's, you know, struggles and whatnot. And but in terms of just for creative specifically, yeah, we were just stuck in the studio working anyway. So it's been productive because I did the thing that I know to do, you know, just stay creative.
Yeah. So. And how would you describe the genre of music that you produce for the most part? What part of the what segment of the music biz would you say you participate in? Or do you pretty much you know, do a variety of different types of projects. Do you have a specialty in the types of music that you might produce?
So actually, yeah. So my music tastes are, ever since I was little, I just as a listener, my music tastes are pretty eclectic, and I am into many different kinds of music. I love jazz. I like heavy metal. I'm dance music is my sort of first love kind of thing, and then I like pop music. So, and that kind of translated into my producing sort of endeavors, and I do many different styles and work with different artists and writers from different genres. And I have been concentrating on top 40 pop music, like radio music, mm-hmm. As of
sure.
recently. But I also mm-hmm. but I also do dance music. Last year, a heavy metal project was released. Hard rock, I should say, was released mm-hmm. right at the end of the year. Then I had an underground dance track released with one of the big underground New York labels. And I had a pop record of my own that was playing on the radio. So I'm kind of dabbling in the actually right now I'm working on a. Somewhat of a folky project, which I know, Andy, you are
yeah.
not a stranger
right.
to folk, right? So
yeah.
So I'm working on something like that right now. So kind of it's kind of all over the place, but yeah, as I said, my main focus has been pop music, radio top 40 type music.
How much would you say, Max? How much would you? What percent or to what degree? Do you find now with computers and software and automation, what do you find in production from as far as what you do? You know, I first started recording as a studio session musician in the early 80s, very early, in the 80s, 81, 82. I was
wow.
a keyboard player and a guitar player. And I'm from Philadelphia. I don't know if Cornell told you that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I actually didn't
know
that.
Yeah, I'm
wow.
from Philly. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Cornell told me that you were at one time with Milk Boy Studios or Milk Boy Records or whatever I think it was called there in Philly. Am I right? You worked with Milk Boy, I think. Am I right about that?
Well, actually, my room is on the same floor that Milk Boy Studios. That they moved. Maybe when you were still in Philly a while ago,
yeah.
they were in Ardmore. Well, they
yes.
moved and
uh-huh.
they joined forces with Larry Gold. I don't know if you know who Larry Gold is.
Yes, of course.
So,
yeah.
So it's in Center City. It's 7th and Callowhill here, and third floor is where all the studios are. And Larry Gold's studio is on the third floor. It used to be called The Studio. And
uh-huh.
Milk Boy they moved from Ardmore and they joined forces with Larry Gold. So now Milk Boy is here in Center City.
Oh,
so, yeah,
darn.
My studio is yeah. That's a small world, right?
There used to
hey
be
guys.
A recording. Hey, Amanda's with us. Hello,
oh,
Amanda.
Hey, Donovan. How are you both?
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
I thought maybe
how
you were asleep
you?
Taking siesta. You know, happy hour there. Siesta.
You know, that would be wonderful, but, you know, I've been trying to get on here. It's been a connection nightmare, but I'm here. I'm sorry, guys, that I've turned up late. But I've been listening to what Maxine's been saying. I'm very intrigued by all this. And it's lovely to meet you, sweetheart.
Oh, it's great to meet you as well. So, yeah, glad you finally made it here. So, yeah,
thank
and
you,
it's
darling.
Great to be here, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, don't let me interrupt the conversation. What were you guys just saying?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of reminiscing. And, you know, I'm from Philadelphia and Cornell is from he's down in Delaware now, I guess. And none of us, Max, have met. I've never met Cornell. Amanda's never met Cornell. I never met Amanda. And here we are doing this show, and over 300 episodes
wow.
now. And none of us have ever met.
no.
Amanda, yeah, Amanda is a producer of some really I don't know if you've had an opportunity to hear what she's done, but she composes and produces and writes words and sings and. You know, a lot of,
awesome.
I think, MIDI and, you know, I mean, it's really, I hear what she does, and I'm like, my goodness. It's true, really good stuff. I strum the acoustic guitar and sing Kumbaya, you know what I'm saying? But, and Max has had to deal with that in the studio, I'm sure, as well as the orchestrated
yeah.
work. I used to produce, I don't know if you remember a place called, oh, no, what I was saying before, I'm sorry, but in the early 80s, there was a music studio at Society Hill Towers. It was, oh my God, who was the guy? There used to be a music venue down on Starobin, Dave Starobin. Oh my God, Danny Starobin. He had a music venue on South Street called Stars, S-T-A-R-Z, and his brother, do I have him mixed up, Dave and Danny? Whichever. Anyway, one of them had a music studio, and I was playing guitar. I was a pilot at the time, really. I mean, you know, but I played guitar on the side as a not even just for fun, but played all over the place
right.
for fun. My career was in aviation. And you know, one thing led to another. I met some singer-songwriters, and they heard me play and say, hey, I'm doing a record. Would you come in and play some guitar for me? And I'd go to the studio, and I'd bang the piano, the amazing Yamaha Studio Grand Piano, and I'd bang on that, just hanging around the studio. And they said, oh, my God, Andy, you play piano? I'm like, yeah, well, you got to add some keyboard to these songs, too. And then I started doing some keyboard and guitar session work in the studio. But they had these big, thick reels of tape back then. Like, what was it, 3/4 inch or 1 inch or something? You know more than I.
Usually two inch, but
2 inch. There you go. Yeah, it was 2 inch.
2 inch.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Two inch tape. Yeah. And I remember the sound of like how, you know, how they rewind to punch in and I, you know.
Yeah.
But now, you know, you have Pro Tools and all these things, and I even do some track recording in my studio just to kind of put down some ideas using. Amanda, what do I use?
Studio One, is it?
Thank you. Leave it to my wife, who I've never met. Studio One, that's right, Studio One. I just upgraded to recently to version 5 of that, kind of cool. I don't really know how to use it. I just push record and play the guitar. But I know a lot of people use Pro Tools and Logic and all these, the software and loops and effects and drums and MIDI and... It, you know, unbelievable. Do you find yourself using a lot of that in your production, your recording? Do you kind of hit, okay, let me see what I can do to this tune and accentuate and emphasize certain parts and add A and add B and so forth? Or is it pretty much all live recording?
No, absolutely. So basically, I actually joke with people when they say, what do I play? I tell them my instrument is computer. I actually, it's all about the computer for me. In terms of putting the records together, right? Obviously, I work with musicians and people and talented people that come in and play live and bass and all that stuff. But in the computer, I'm like, I used to use Pro Tools exclusively for like 10 years. Then I switched to Logic, and I've been using Logic I'm sure you know who Dave Pensado is. I don't know if you know, but he's a prolific
sure.
engineer and producer and whatnot. And he himself is saying that right now is like the best time to be in music because the tools that we have are just unbelievable. The things we can do right now is just unbelievable in terms.
I'd agree with
and
that.
I personally,
Yeah, and I personally
right. So, and I personally think right now, in terms of sonically and the way records are put together, I think they sound the best they ever sounded. I mean, I know it's all arguable and it's all, you know, relative to taste and stuff like that. But in terms of sonically and the sheer richness and the editing of stuff is just it's like movies as well, right? So movies nowadays, they're so precisely edited, and the computer graphics are so crazy, right? So it's similar. I think of music in similar sort of terms. I'm like now music just sounds incredible, and then the records that are coming out are just amazing. So yeah, so I look at the, you know, glass half full. Music is great. I know some, you know, opinions are different, but that's where I stand on this, you know.
I agree with that, actually, sweetheart, definitely. I mean, for myself, I've been in music since I was about 4 or 5 years old. I wanted to write songs from that early age. So growing up, we've listened to my parents playing vinyl records and stuff like that. Hearing how far music has come and transformed, and like you said, the clarity that we have now and the things we're able to create and add effect to is absolutely stunning. Yeah, it's great to go back and listen to vinyl and how it was produced back then. It has its own unique magic, but the clarity and the magic that we have now with everything that we can produce is absolutely stunning. I love it.
Yeah, mind-blowing. Yeah.
Yeah, I get on board completely with what you're saying there. What's your thoughts, Andy?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When I first started playing, which I fell into a music career totally by accident. I never had an intention of ever playing music for a career, to even ever make money doing it. I started playing guitar and piano when I was 7 or 8 years old. I was in my first band at 11, and I've always played, you know, just in bands and was down in Florida, you know, playing bluegrass and country and folk and playing Rolling Stones and 70s tribute bands and Jersey Shore bands, the Margate scene, Washington Avenue down, you know, some uh-huh, gigs uh-huh, down, yeah. down the shore. I was part of that. And, you know, David Bowie, Mott the Hoople, The Who, Rolling Stones, you know, my Gibson Les Paul custom. And I always thought that folk music was when, you know, you go to a folk festival, I envisioned 5,000 people holding hands and singing Kumbaya, and it wasn't my scene. I'd go back to playing, you know, Mick Jagger and the Stones and Keith Richards, and that's what I was into. And slowly but surely, it was an awakening. I figured, oh, my God, this is music. You know, it's, you know, acoustic Americana roots, blues. So this is where everything comes from. Everything comes from the blues. Everything comes from gospel roots and Americana music, and that's what I got into with an acoustic edge and been doing it ever since. But what happened when I first got into music a guy who I'd known for a while, an amazingly talented harmonica player, a guy named Kyle Ober. He was a high school classmate of mine. He still is. He's a high school classmate of mine. And we used to cut class at Lower Merion High School in Ardmore. That's where I went to high school. And we'd sit in the hallways and jam on guitar and harmonica. And we became quite an item, the two of us, you know. It was like, we'd sit in the hallways and we'd play. When people were in class, Kyle and I are out there playing the blues, you know, and I can't believe I made it through high school. That's another story. But anyway, one thing led to another, and Kyle, you know, we stayed in touch and, heard me. I started my career by, you know, playing an open mic sponsored by Sam Adams Beer, and one of the owners of Sam Adams Beer saw me play, sponsored me, offered me paychecks, and, you know, I never looked back. And so Kyle took me to New York and started playing. I started playing all the places in the village. I was playing a lot. I mean, I was playing a lot. And I didn't know any songs, by the way. When I said I was playing a lot, I had to make up everything I did every show because I didn't know any words. I never sang, you know. Yeah. I was a guitar player. So here I am, you know, being a solo act, you know, having to do 2 or 3 sets at a club and thinking, what the hell am I going to do? Because, you know, if I know 7 songs, that's a lot. And I started making stuff up, just getting on stage and making it up, you know. And then I was introduced to a record producer by a guy named Andrew Comas, who's actually was quite well known. And I found out just a year or so ago that Andrew had passed away way too young. But what he had a company called First Choice Records, which was an affiliate of Sony Music. And what he used to do is produce music for dance clubs in the UK. Amanda, your neck of the woods.
Oh, really?
And it was, now here's the thing. So Andrew heard me play. They came into a show, and he walked up to me and asked me, who are you recording with? And at the time, I wasn't doing this seriously. And I'm like, who am I recording with? And he said, what are you with the label, I'm assuming? And I'm like, no, I don't. I record on my tape deck on my Sony Walkman. That's about it. Oh, well, listen, I want you to come down to our office in Soho and on Tuesday, and one thing led to another, and I got a record deal with this First Choice Music, which was an affiliate of Sony. And for me, you know, I'm like, what? You know, huh? Whoa.
Yeah.
So I walk in the studio, which is down in Soho, and the guy came up to me, and, you know, I show up with the guitar, and a couple of other people from Philadelphia came up and joined me there, and I walked. He looked down at this tall guy. He's a tall dude. He looked down at me with my guitar cases and said, "Oh, you play live?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Well, you got to sit here and wait a while. They had 23 keyboards in the studio. He never recorded anybody live. He was all DJ,
really?
All hip DJ music for dance clubs. You know, it was all produced.
All right.
So, and they did a really, really amazing. I couldn't believe they did it. But I was my first, and I've never as a performer, I've never paid for studio time in my entire life, my entire career. People have picked me up. I've been with labels, and producers would say, "Hey, I'd love to bring you in. Let's do a demo, Andy. Let's do this." And I that's the kind of career it's been for me. So whenever I meet people who do what you do, in the studio, and I just not, you know, again, I pick up G, C, and D and play it different ways and somehow carve out a living by doing that. And when I see people who really do know the ins and outs and the people who work with musicians such as myself and take that craft and take that artistry and make it a product that people buy, I'm like, you know, kudos. And wow, what a talent. What an ability to be able to do that, just coming from a guy who just strums on the guitar. I'm totally impressed with how you're able to do what you do and what a skill that is. And can you tell our listeners maybe where they can check out some of the music that you have produced and some things that you've done and artists that you've worked with?
Yes, absolutely. So I have a website, which is basically lectric.com, lectric.com, that I've worked on recently there, as well as I have a lot of music on Spotify and Apple Music under my both under my producer name, Lectric, and also under my first last name as well. Actually, I've been releasing a lot of dance music past 10 years. And in dance music, for some reason, a lot of people just go by their first last name. I'm not sure. Even if it's like a made up thing, but it's always like a first. Even if it's like a pseudonym, right?
Yeah,
so it's Maxim Laskavy. Yeah, in dance music, somehow that's how that works. I'm not. I don't know why. So it's Maxim Laskavy. Right. Exactly. It's M A X I M first name, like the magazine, and Laskavy is L A S K A V Y. I have a lot of tech house, deep house, like underground stuff that's been playing in you know clubs everywhere. So that's where I'm. There you can find me.
I was checking out your music on your website. It's really really good. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I noticed that you were. Sorry, go on, sweetheart.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I noticed that you were. Doing some heavy metal stuff as well. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, it's more hard rock. It's kind of borderline heavy metal, but yeah.
Right, yeah.
I have an artist. Yeah, I have an artist here I've been working with for a while. He was in a pretty like decently big band in the 80s, Nitro from the early 80s.
Yeah.
And they had, I don't know if you, so not the glam Nitro from LA. It's the it's the heavy metal new wave of British heavy metal. That's what they were calling themselves in PA, right? So they had a album out and they had a following and they were charting. Anyway, so that was in the 80s, and now the main guy that was the main guy, the original one of the original members, he's doing his solo thing right now, and then we released the first album. Now we're working on a more acoustic-y EP right now, and then the next follow-up album is going to come out. So, yeah, it's hard rock with a lot of guitars and everything live, drums,
amazing.
And all kinds of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I mean, it's, you know, you get a lot of producers that kind of stick to several genres or just one even. But when you get someone like yourself who is pushing the boundaries to see what you creatively can do, that's, I love that. I admire that. And I think that's a beautiful thing about the whole art and creation of music, for myself especially. You know, I love mixing it up and playing with what works and what sounds great and what is different, what can inspire, what can make you feel different. And, you know, I think in being a producer or even a songwriter or just a musician, to try and push your own boundaries to see what you're capable of is such a beautiful thing. And is that the kind of thing that you're trying to achieve? Are you trying to move into different genres of music?
Yeah, well, so as I was saying earlier, yeah, my as a listener, my musical tastes are very eclectic. So, and that kind of spills over into my work, into my creative endeavors. And also, I kind of get a little bored with just one thing, so to speak. Like I love dance music. Like my dance music is my first love. I love trance, house, techno. Like I love it all. But yeah. if I'm gonna make dance music four on the floor, you know, that kick drum four on the floor, like months on end, I would get really bored. And so I need to switch it up. I need to do something else for myself. So I need to do that, incorporate that. Actually, and a lot of times that's why I kind of gravitate towards pop music, to be honest, because it kind of, pop music is kind of an amalgamation of all these different genres, right? And
yeah,
and that's, to me, and to me, it's like you never know, like, kind of, at least the way I work, I never really know where I'm going to end up when I'm working on a track. I have a rough idea, don't get me wrong, but it kind of takes me, and I let it take me, right? And that keeps me, it keeps it interesting, and I don't get bored as quickly with pop music. But then overall, also, I stray away from pop music, and I go folk, you know, rock, you know, dance music, and that keeps it going, keeps you creative, and keeps you inspired, right? So that's
a beautiful
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's awesome.
You know, Max, if you'd like, you should forward us some tunes, and we'd be glad to play, you know, a couple of tracks here on the show. I sort of thought of that previously. We'd have had them on this show if I could have done so. But hey, you know, but still, you should send us anything you care to, MP3 file, and we'd be glad to play some of your tunes here on the show. We were incorporating for a period of time. We were incorporating music, mostly acoustic singer songwriter stuff, some bands, some Zydeco, some blues. And we were playing some music, and what we found over a period of time that just from our numbers that people seem to enjoy Amanda and I talking about things that we know nothing about more than hearing tunes. So that's what we continue to do.
Awesome.
Pretty much.
But every once in a while we do inject some music. We do continue to do that because we are both musicians, and hey, you know, that's where our passion is, along with doing the show,
of course.
So if you be you know, if you want to go ahead and forward us to, and we'll get you the email address to do that, send us some of your music, and we'd be glad to incorporate it. And if anybody out there, you know, music producers, musicians, or people who just want to know about the recording and production and making music, feel free to join the show and be part of our conversation here at the studio. It's 515-605-9888. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Our guest today is Max Lascave, who's a music producer and musician in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and we're welcoming him on board. All right, we are back, and through modern technology, we're going to actually be able to play some of the tunes that Max produced. So give me just a few minutes.
Now, let me see here. No, heck, we don't need a few minutes. I can do it right now. We're going to play some tunes, and these are produced by Max Lascave, our guest on this episode of the Andy and Amanda Show. This first tune we're going to hear is called Today Is the Day. Don't go anywhere. I want you to take a listen to this. Here we go.
Today is the day. It's the end of the way. We can finally celebrate. Cause today is the day. Cause today. Afraid we can finally share.
Wow. Fabulous work. Let's go to our second song. What do you think, folks? Really, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, really. Well deserved. I wish we had more of an audience than that. Fabulous work. Max Lascave is our guest. We're going to hear the next tune here coming up. It's called Denial. Just great. Just great. And we're not done. We're going to get to hear one more. And this one's called Tonight is the Night. Tonight is the Night. Again, Max Lascave is our guest here on the Andy Mann Show. And we're playing some tunes that he put together in his studio, Electric, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So here is Tonight is the Night. Electric.
Let's keep it a secret. I can if you can. Turn down to a whisper. See through to the end. Tonight we'll put the world on mute. Heartbeat will keep the flow of time. Just for you and I, we've got the key to night.
That feeling of forever won't know to a try. So let's stop wasting time, because tonight is the night.
That feeling of forever,
because tonight is the night. Shadows make it last for a lifetime, 'cause tonight we'll put the world on mute. Heartbeat will keep the flow of time. Tonight we make the ambience under the northern lights.
It's like a piece of heaven made just for you and I. We've got the key to enter and we'll do it tonight.
That feeling of forever won't know to a try. So let's stop wasting time, because tonight is the night.
That feeling of forever,
because tonight is the night.
It is the night or never.
Yeah, tonight is the night.
That feeling of forever,
tonight is the night.
First time, thirst time, drunk on your love, that's the worst wine. It hurts, I'm bursting. Personally, I'm way past flirting. I'm working and searching for your love, girl, yes, I'm certain. Not the surface, but deeper and deeper. I just wanna please ya. We can keep it a secret so nobody knows. Got the key to your heart, so just go with the flow. Want this feeling forever and ever, it's so heavenly, ready, get set and let's go. Gone off your love, not wasting no time. Tonight is the night and my life on the line. Your love is a drug, I'm addicted, no lie. Thank God I'm alive, your body's divine.
It's like a piece of heaven made just for you and I. We've got the key to enter and we'll do it tonight. That feeling of forever won't know to a try. So let's stop wasting time, because tonight is the night.
That feeling of forever,
because tonight is the night.
Just really fantastic. Great stuff. Great music. Great production values and quality. Just amazing. We're hearing music produced by our guest, Max Lascave, which he put together in the studio Electric in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And what we'll do is let's jump back into that conversation here on the Andy and Amanda Show. And I want to thank Max again for coming aboard and sharing that music with us. Really, really enjoying that. And I hope you folks are appreciating it as well. Now back into our show, the Andy and Amanda Show. The Andy and Amanda Show, did I say that? The Andy and Amanda Show. Get it straight. Get it straight. Don't even know the name of my own program. Okay, here we go, folks.
Amanda, how are you doing, by the way, love? How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was very, very blessed. I can't complain. You know, I managed to spend time with the family because of this whole lockdown easing, which was beautiful. We had some food out in the garden and sat around a fire with some lights, and it was stunning. How about you?
You know, I went out a couple of times over the weekend. Heard some Oh, did you ever hear of the band called Bad Finger, by any chance? Bad Finger. You remember the band Bad Finger?
That kind of rings a bell.
Bad Finger, a lot of hits. I went to this place. As a matter of fact, the same place I think I told you about last Monday where I'd been the preceding Saturday. I went to it again this Saturday, a place called Patrick's Roadhouse in Santa Monica. And I highly recommend this place, folks, if you're coming to California. It's down on Pacific Coast Highway in Santa Monica, bordering on the edge of Santa Monica. bordering another town that escapes me at the moment. But anyway, I heard there's a bunch of musicians, jazz musicians, that have never rehearsed. They never played. They got together at this venue, and they play every Saturday night. And there's no cover or anything. The patio dining with heaters. It gets a little cool down there. And they are amazing. And the food is incredible. It's upscale, hamburgers and entrees and things. It's amazingly good and casual, and the music is great. So I went down again for the second Saturday in a row, and I'm going down next Saturday too. To go out and go to a restaurant and hear live music, Oh my God. Mm. And so anyway, and they were great. The saxophone player of this band, I mean, they're all amazing. They were amazing. They're just incredible musicians. And this is LA. I mean, I guess I'm not from LA. You know, I've only been here a few years, but I guess that's what you come to expect here. And this is LA. You go out on the town here on any given night and you hear musicians and bands and see performances like you wouldn't see anywhere. I've traveled a lot, as you know, and I spent a lot of time in New York too, which is also whoa, but LA is a couple notches up. I mean, you just wouldn't believe what's here. You just couldn't believe it. Max, you got to get out here. You haven't been here yet.
Right.
I have been to
LA and have been to Santa Monica. I did some work with the Music Academy, the Grammy Academy.
Wow.
So I've
So you know.
Yeah.
Whoa, you know. Anyway, there's a couple of people, you know, sitting at a table right in front of the band, and they're, you know, band's playing, about ready to rap. We gave them a big encore, and they came back and said, "Well, this guy here is a good friend of the band. He's the I don't know, some of you may know him, I don't remember his name, but he's a lead singer of the band called Badfinger." And I'm going back to the 70s, a rock and roll band, a lot of hits, and he's going to be singing with the band next Saturday night. And I'm like, wow. So as we got up and left, I went over and introduced myself, and I just complimented the band and say, "Hey, you know, I play guitar." They say, "You do? What do you do?" And I say, I play blues. I play folk and blues. "Well, why don't you bring your guitar? We're looking for a guy to back. You know, we'd love to have you come up on stage, and why don't you come out and join us and play some tunes, and we'll back you up." And I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
You know, I miss those days. That's how things used to happen for me. That's how things happen in my career. I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
So I don't know if I'm going to do it this Saturday, but I'm going to continue to go out and hear them and check them out.
I missed the first part of you guys talking, so I apologize about that. If I go over anything that you've already discussed, again, I apologize. But, you know, I think back to my passions when I was a kid, like with music and stuff, where it all started for me. What's your earliest memory for you that you actually thought to yourself, "Oh my God, I love music. I want to do this"?
Okay, it's kind of actually funny story about that as well. Earliest memory is actually not my memory. It's my parents' memory, and they tell me that when I was three, when I was three years old, I already had a favorite record. Meaning favorite song as well as favorite actual record, actually vinyl.
Yeah.
You know, and I was 3 years old, and we had a pile of vinyls, and I would, you know, go through them and pick one specific out and say, "Hey, play this one." And it was a big I'm from Ukraine originally, so this was a big this was a song by one of the biggest, probably the biggest Russian pop artist who's still alive to this day and everything, and so I had one of her songs be my favorite when I was really young, and then actually 25 plus years later I've had her daughter in my studio recording with me and recording one of my songs. So it was pretty big moment like that. You know, came around full circle. It was pretty amazing.
That's incredible. Don't you just love it when things like that happen? It's just so moving.
Right.
Yeah, I know, it's like...
Totally.
It's like had an instant like that. When I first started this show with the boys, it was a slightly different show back then, and I came on as a guest. I'm a graphic designer by trade, and I do music as a second kind of gig. So I got asked to do the design work for the show, and I'm like, yeah, great, by Cornell, because I've been friends with him for like 16 years. And then I became a guest on the show, and then they got me on the show, and I was really enjoying it and stuff. And he said, "So are you ready to meet Romany Malco, who's an actor in the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin?" I was like, "You're kidding me." He's like, "No." I'm like, "He's coming on the show." He's like, yeah. He said, "You're going to be able to talk to him." It blew my mind, because at that point, it was so surreal. It was one of my favorite movies. And he's one of my favorite characters in the movie. And I literally watched that movie 3 days before Cornell had said anything to me. So my whole world was like tripping at that point. You know what I mean? I was like, what?
Yeah, it's
What's
amazing.
What's going on? But I love it.
That's
absolutely
great.
Love it. But in terms of all the music that you do and everything, you know, do you have any tips for amateur producers that are looking to make it in the industry?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm still learning myself, right? As we all are, or should be anyway.
Of course.
But
Definitely. Specifically for producers.
Yeah.
Definitely learn an instrument. Any kind of instrument, any kind of acoustic or non-digital. Well, I mean, pianos, you could call it, keyboards and synthesizers, but any instrument is outside of a computer. Because I know there's a lot of people, as we just talked about, we can do all kinds of crazy stuff on the computer and effects, and we can loop through samples and all kinds of stuff. It's all great. But having a knowledge and a relationship with an instrument is just you can't replace that. The best producers that I know, that I've met, and maybe haven't even met, that are doing their thing, they all play an instrument. It doesn't have to be virtuoso kind of level. It's not really what it's about, but it's about, and also it's about playing an instrument and being able to play that instrument with other people. Because when we produce in a computer, right, we make music, we're still trying to make all these different elements talk to each other, right? It's a dialogue all the time between the vocal and between the guitar and the drums. It's a dialogue. But when you're able to have that dialogue in an analog way outside of a computer and with other people, that just gives you a different perspective, a different sort of knowledge and understanding of how music works and how things talk and sing and whatnot. I think that's important. Like for me, looking back right now, I went to school, I went to college, I have 2 degrees in music recording technology, all that. So I have like education. And I actually studied in the UK. I studied in Cambridge.
Oh,
so,
wow.
One semester. Yes. I lived for 6 months. I lived in Cambridge, and it was great. Traveled to London all the time. So I studied it, right? So I studied the technology. Yeah. I studied all that, and I have an understanding of the analog signal flow and all that stuff. But parallel to the technology, I did study. We also had to study music, actual music, solfège, and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Looking back, if I were to go back to school, I wouldn't even look at the technology side of it. I wouldn't even care. I would go back to studying more music. Music is like infinite. There's so much to learn and so many things to wrap your brain around. So study music and learn an instrument. It's paramount. It's just, you can't replace that side of things.
Absolutely. I think, like you said, it really opens up that creativity within you as well, because then you're able to push the boundaries with new things, new ideas, and especially if you're working with other artists who come to you and say, okay, so I want this, can you make it sound like this, can we do this? And I think a lot of people, I see this all over like social media and stuff, these advertisements of people saying, you don't need any musical knowledge, purchase this, buy this pack, we can make songs in a moment. That's great, but again, like you said, I think having that relationship with an instrument is such an important thing. And I have no doubt that people can produce some amazing stuff just by using the computer and the software that comes along with it. And you can, there's no doubt about it. But I think it's important to know that having that musical background in that sense is a very wise and profitable thing for your craft and your creation, especially.
Absolutely,
I agree, and I really wanted to put that out there because, of course, like I said, I'm seeing it all over social media all the time, all these advertisements, and I know these are people just trying to help their product and their way of seeing how you can go back to basics and still produce stuff that's playing in your head. Because I remember going back years ago, I used to have this frustration when I was younger of really creating a song from scratch with every element coming together that I was hearing in my head, and I used to get frustrated that I couldn't get it out. It was one thing getting it out on an instrument, but to actually put a whole song together was another thing. It was just unbelievable. And then when, of course, computers took off, and then you had all the music software that came along with it, my world opened up. It was incredible, and I'll never forget that excitement that I had.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, right? It's amazing.
Yeah,
I can do this.
It is amazing. Yeah.
Was that how it was for you? Did you feel like that at any point?
Well, so I
I started, I went to school for music engineering, and then after school, I got a job in a recording studio, a small recording studio here in Philadelphia. Actually, the main engineer there was actually a British guy, which, you know, I have these strange ties to England, little things here and there. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was working as an engineer, recording these bands and artists and singers and doing all that work, mixing and mastering stuff. And at some point, it became not enough for me. I felt like I always worked on other people's music, which was great and fun and creative in its own right. But it wasn't. It started to become not enough. And I started to dabble in. I bought a first Mac, you know, like 2006 or 7, something like that.
Amazing.
And I started dabbling in it and trying to. You know, look for sounds and install some plugins and you know, try to put songs together and it kind of started to speak to me, and I'm like, oh wow, I can actually, this makes sense to me. I can make music on a computer and record it into it, right? And then from then on, I kind of started to develop myself as a producer and learn from other people and work with the other up and comers or whoever was around that was willing to work with me. And then from then on, basically, I've been doing both ever since. I still engineer, obviously record, mix, master, all that stuff, and I also produce my own stuff and I collab with a lot of people. My studio is in a such a great location where there's a lot of other studios and other musicians and creatives around in the same building, and we just collaborate all the time and create records, tracks, songs, and that's where how it kind of came to be for me. Sort of, I want to be involved in the creation of the music itself versus just polishing already created music, you know?
Hey, Max, is there a studio outside of Philadelphia, I think it was in Gladwin or Penn Valley, called Morning Star?
There is. I think it's still around. I've never been there, but I keep hearing it sort of from time to time. People go there and use it. I've never been. I don't know. If I even know people from there, but yes, Morningstar, yes, I've definitely heard about it.
I remember them. I'm trying to think of what was. Did you ever hear of a band in Philly that used? I forget where they recorded. Maybe you know a guy named Lenny Gordon or Lenny and the Soul Senders? Ring a bell in Philadelphia?
Lenny Gordon, that sounds familiar. Sounds familiar. I'm not.
Yeah, they
not
used.
Quite
to, I forget
sure
where they
I
recorded. I'm just trying to think. I was never, you know, I did most of my work up in New York, and I didn't really. You know, I just kind of lived in Philly and did everything else elsewhere. No, Philly's a good town. Don't get me wrong. Don't. I live in Philly, but can we talk?
A lot of history, too. A lot of musical history.
Oh,
you know,
my
the
God.
Sound
Gamble
of Philadelphia.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. Gamble and Hop Alone is, you know, it's, oh, man. Yeah.
So I'll never forget going to Kennedy, the Coliseum. Not the Coliseum. Kennedy Stadium, I think it was called, where the Army-Navy game used to be. Was it Kennedy? Something like that. But I remember seeing Peter Frampton and Leonard Skinner. And I also went there to see Live Aid. I was at Live Aid. What was it?
Oh,
80?
Wow.
Yeah, I was there too.
82 or 85?
Wow.
85 Live Aid,
yeah.
I think. 85.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll never forget Jack Nicholson coming out on stage and Chevy Chase, and it was hot as hell, and Jack Nicholson coming out and saying, "We're gonna hose you down," and they took fire trucks. That was pretty good, wasn't it? "We're gonna hose you down." Hey, that was bad. You know
listen, this is the way it is.
You know, it wasn't bad. I remember that. I encourage, and I guess. And you have a studio, so musicians can actually come in and discuss their projects with you, and you can take a project from concept, from somebody's songwriting ideas, whether a live musician or whatever they might do, or require some backing and some composition. You're able to take somebody's project from idea, or just what if they have songs, they need a studio to put some things down and get a demo done. You can do it from A to Z, all in house at your facility. Am I right?
A to Z, absolutely. I have a it's relatively small studio with a vocal booth. So I can do anything but the drums, really. So any other kind of instrument, vocal, anything, I can record. And if we do need to do, the big, you know, drum setup, then we go to studio next door and record it there. And then everything else I can do in my studio. Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting you say vocal booth. I was working with the same person who was managing me and getting me a slew of gigs. I mean, he had me working all over the place, and he repped really high-end recording gear. I mean, his clients were the Philadelphia Orchestra and so forth, and real – I mean, I don't know anything about recording gear. You probably know the names of this gear, but I would have no idea. But really, really high-end things, and he was a manufacturer's rep. And so he had a studio, which was – you know, the equipment that he had in the studio was again, I wouldn't know – it had dials and switches. That's all I know. So, but he had me come in. I'd come in and he did some demos for his own business, but he used me and my guitar work and my music to demo this equipment. So he'd bring me in and said, Andy, can you come in and actually would like not only do a demo, but I want to put some of your tunes out there. And I'm like, sure. So I came in at the time. My main job outside of being a musician was also being a stay-at-home dad. I had a toddler at the time. My first daughter was born. I was a musician, had the time to be with her all day long when my wife was busy getting her, what was she doing at the time? Getting her doctorate degree, I think, up in New York. So I was there in Philadelphia, really focusing on taking care of my kid and strumming the guitar when I could. So I was doing a project there. This is kind of funny. He pulled me in. He says, Andy, you know, I hate to bother you, but I messed up on this guitar piece. Can you come in? It'll take you 20 minutes, a half hour. We'll recut it, and I'll send you on your way. And I'm like, sure. So I drove down to Society Hill where the studio was, and I went in and literally took 20 minutes, recut this thing on the guitar. And he had this acoustic guitar of mine, Calling of Guitars, amazing, amazing, amazing guitars, real high-end instruments and if you haven't heard or played a Collins guitar, you need to do so. And they're not available at your Sam Mash Guitar Center type stores. They're high-end instruments available. I'm not sure where in Philly, but anyway, Collins guitars, and yes, I do have an artist relationship with them now. And you know, the reason being is because I played them long before I had this relationship and highly recommend them. Okay, enough with that plug. So he had my Collins guitar mic'd and whatever, and I had this headset on. And it sounded like a god darn orchestra. I mean, it's like a fine cello. It was incredible. So he was finished, and I said, hey, do you mind if I just sit here and play a little while? And the switch came on the booth. If we can record it, you can play it. I'm like, sure. So I just laid out this real slow, bluesy, flowing blues thing. Just made it up for, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. And went back into the booth, and we sat down, and we listened to it. And said, wow, that sounds really cool. Yeah, it does. All right, so then I disappear, go take care of my kid, do what I do. About 2 months later, he shows up at a show of mine. I think it was up in Syracuse or somewhere up upstate New York, and we're hanging out after the show, and he says, you driving back to Philly by any chance? And I said, yeah, you know, right down 81, you know, back to Philadelphia. And he said, here, put this in your CD player on the way home, check it out, see what you think. So I'm driving, like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm driving back down 81 there, and I get tired, and I look down at the seat, and I see the CD he gave me. I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is. And I pop it in, and out comes this incredible music production of that little blues guitar piece I did.
I can't wait to lose. This is what we call, I got the red hot summer blues.
He brought in a rap singer by the name of a guy by the name of Street. The rap group was called Black Street or Black Street 21.
Yeah.
The guys, yes. Okay. Uh-huh. So Joe Stone, and Joe was actually the originators of the rap group called, was it voice to is it voice
to Men.
Yes.
He was
the originator of that group and went on to form Blackstreet. Now, he went into the studio. This is what I find out later on. He goes to the studio because he's doing a solo project, and the producer who did my guitar work said, "You got to hear this guitar piece that this guy I'm working with did." So he plays the guitar piece, and Joe says, "Do you think that dude would mind if I lay down some vocals?" And Kyle said, "Sure." So I put him in the vocal booth, like you were saying, and Joe did 10 vocal tracks. 10.
Wow.
And the whole tune begins at a party, and Joe's, you know, you hear the crowd at a party, and then Joe cuts out his vocals. Woo! He starts singing like you wouldn't believe, this high Stevie Wonder like thing, and starts cutting it, and he's making the words up, called Red Hot Blues. And then I had a backing band called the Andy Kimball Express, and this is all I had no idea any of this was happening. He brought in the bass player from my band and said, "Hey, could you lead down some bass tracks to this tune?" And then Kyle's also, as I was telling you earlier, played an incredible blues harp. So Kyle produced this whole thing, put out a song called Red Hot Blues. It charted number 4 nationally in blues in 2004. And I'm listening to this thing, and here's the deal. Because I laid down the original guitar track, it's an Andy Kimball tune. Although I'm just a guitar player. I mean, this whole thing is all about Joe's Street, really is his name, Joe Stone.
Right.
But because I laid down the guitar track, I got the credit for the tune, and I was like, you know. And then what happened was a record label called Rough House Records in Conshohocken.
Yep.
You remember Rough House Records?
Yeah, of course.
Niccolo,
yeah.
I think the guy's name is it Phil Niccolo? Am I right by the name? I think
Joe Niccolo. Yeah.
Joe, there we go. They called Joe in and me, and we went in for an invitation experiment. We put together a band called Men in Black. And the experiment was they wanted to bring Joe, based on the success of this tune, brought Joe in, brought a bunch of other musicians. Nobody knew each other, invited a studio audience of about 50 people, got catering, the whole thing, and said, "Okay, we're going to go in recording booth and turn the record button on. You guys just play." Okay. Just
wow.
Up. Yeah. And Joe is out there. You know, he's doing everything from Stevie Wonder to everything. He is, and I heard recently that he had passed away, and I'm like, whoa. And, you know, and yeah, and we did a couple other tunes. We did the Sweet Home Chicago and a few, and we didn't know it was Sweet Home Chicago. They brought us in. They said, "Andy, you go in the guitar room. Joe, you go in the vocal room. We're going to play records. Two of you just go at it." And I would just play guitar, and then Joe would just make up the words and whatever he felt like singing to my guitar stuff. And he comes from the world of rap music. He's a rap singer.
Yes.
I play uh-huh. Kumbaya. And they put the two of us together, and out came these incredible tunes. And I want to do that. Maybe next time they come to Philadelphia, we can do that again, and maybe I'll give you a call. And it would be cool to do another project like that. You must know a ton of singers and whatever, and we just kind of go into your place, and we say, "Okay, guys, let's just – Andy, start strumming. Go ahead, do your thing. We'll make up the rest of it as we go along." And you, the music that came out was incredible. And I still have a bunch of recordings. And I'll play. You can look up the tune. It's called Red Hot Blues, and it's an Andy Kimball song. But I should get none of the credit, and I get the credit because I laid out the tune. But I really should get.
Yeah.
I'm the guitar player. You
That's
hear the
awesome.
Song. It's all, you know, and this again went number 4, a half a million downloads. And we made
Don't
it up
just
as
love
we
that, though.
Oh my
that
God.
That you can just take all those elements, you know, different things and just fuse them together like that to create something so amazing and different. I love it. I get so inspired when I hear things mixed, and you don't expect a rapper to come on certain tracks or whatever. And then you hear them come on, and it's like, yes, that gives it a completely different edge. I love it. I get so inspired by
that's
that.
Awesome.
Quick. And Kyle told me later, he said, "You had no idea," and Max, you can probably relate to this, you have no idea of what it took, the hours it took to make all this happen, you know, to take your guitar, and he came in, did 10 different vocal tracks, put a bass, and then the subsequent tunes that we did, they did it the same way. I came with my guitar, and I can't keep a beat to save my life. I can't play a little click track. I just can't. You know, when I play live, I sit down and they mic my shoes on a wooden platform, and I just go at it. And, you know, I kind of rush a little bit. I slow down. I speed, you know. So if you bring in a drummer after the fact and you say, okay, we need to lay down a drum tack to this guy, and the drummer would say, well, he's speeding up. He's like, what the hell? Where's the beat here, you know? And so for recording engineer to bring in other musicians to put stuff down behind me after I'm long gone has always been a challenge for people I work with.
Yeah. Nowadays it's no problem. Nowadays that's not a problem at all.
Cool.
I love that. I just love it. I love that process. It's just, and you know, I could go on with this forever. You know, we're supposed to be talking about music and then breaking down more news, but the heck with the news. Anyway, hey Max, do you have any news you want to talk about? Welcome to the Andy DeMander Show.
To be honest, I try to stay away from the news. There's so much controversy, negativity everywhere. I try to stay away. Yeah. I try to stay positive. Yeah. Try to stay creative. I am sort of let it happen there. I try not to bring too much of that into my life.
I was the same as you, darling, before I started this show. And thanks to Andy, I'm more exposed than ever.
But this is the Andy DeMander Show, folks. This is our Monday 5 o'clock somewhere, because it's 5 o'clock in the UK, and we want to thank all of our UK listeners. We have a growing population, and I think I told you, Amanda, Wednesday or Friday last week, we have a new country of listeners, and that is Finland. I don't know much about Finland, but we are talking to Finland in addition to 16 other countries right now. Around the world.
Incredible. And thank you, Finland.
It is incredible.
Thank you.
It is. It's absolutely amazing. The numbers are just what we're doing here. So I don't know why or how it's happening, but whatever we're doing seems to be doing something. And for those of you who are
glad.
Isn't it? And Max, and you know Spotify and iTunes and all these places where people download music. Well, you can also download the Andy and Amanda Show, and I think we started with distribution of our show to a broad base of platforms in January, and there are many, many downloads. But you can go to whatever whether it be Pandora or iTunes or Spotify or Google or Chrome or Alexa, or any of those programs, and just say, hey, Alexa, or hey, Google, play the Andy and Amanda Show, and you'll hear Andy and Amanda. And I know you want to hear Amanda, not necessarily Andy, but, you know.
Andy, come on.
They blank me out. I keep fast forwarding to Amanda. You know, story. I mean, no respect. You know what I'm saying? No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It could be the other way around, sweetheart. For all you know, they're probably thinking that British chick. She needs to shut up.
But anyway, our guest has been Max. And again, the name of your studio. And I don't want to get people. I don't want to steer people the wrong way. But it's your name is Max Lascave, right? And your studio is Electric,
Max,
right?
Electric. Actually, you mentioned the Electric Factory in Philadelphia while ago. And actually, my studio is in the same building where Electric Factory used to be. They got bought out by a different company. It's still a concert hall. It's called the Franklin Music Hall. Now,
wow.
But my producer name is Electric, so now people starting to call my studio Electric Factory, not
that
Electric
is so
Factory,
cool.
But Electric Factory. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I sense from you, Max, but correct me if I'm wrong. What you do is what you do, not because hey, I'm just going to get this job, I'm going to do it and make a lot of money. I'm going to become this millionaire, and here's my idea. It's because you're an artist. You're committed. You're passionate. When you get up every day, you don't do something for a living. You are what you do for your living. When you get up every day, you get paid to be you. And that's the sense I get from our conversation and from your schooling and your background and your work in the studio. Am I kind of on track there? Am I assuming
Andy,
correctly?
Andy, you're absolutely right. If I was getting into music for money, it would be a wrong move completely. So I do music because that's what I've been doing since I've been studying piano since I was 5 years old and all that. So you don't go into music for money. And those people who do, they fall off almost right away. I know many people that were they got into music, they they would do it for 2 years and they turn around like, hey, I've been, you know, busting my ass here and then nothing's happening and what's going on? I'm gonna, you know, I'm just gonna move on to something else. And they fall off. So it's, you do music because you love music, and that's because that's what you do. And that's really the only way to sustain yourself in music industry, mm-hmm. and, you know, eventually become successful is only because you love doing it. That's the only way to do it.
That's it.
I agree. Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Someday I come back to Philadelphia. You know, it'll be great to meet you someday.
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
Yeah, it must be.
Absolutely, it would be great. Oh my God, yes. Please come through. Hit me up. We'll you know, come by the studio. We'll you know have some. I guess I don't know beers. Maybe I don't drink.
Yes.
But, you know.
It would be. It would be great to do, and I want to thank you for joining our conversation today on our show. It's great having you, and we will get to play some of your tunes this week. We'll do it. I just we'll work that out, and we'll talk, and we'll get that done. Great to share with our audience what Amanda has had the opportunity to hear, and the brief time I got to hear some of what you produced, and it's great stuff, folks. And we'll be playing and sharing some of his music as we move along here. So Max, thanks
He's
for joining our show, and
yeah.
We'll do this again. We look forward to it, and want to wish you all the very best. And again, thanks so much for joining us on the Andy and Amanda Show on the Coast to Coast program.
Oh, it's been a true pleasure, Max. Thank you so much, darling.
Thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast. It was an honor to be here, and absolutely, I had a great time.
Aw, thank you for letting us know, because we always worry about that. Did our guests have a good time? We really hope so.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thank you, guys. Yeah, really,
Aww.
Really awesome.
You're welcome.
Terrific.
Peter.
All right, all the best. You take care. You know, I had one question to ask you. I think I got a caller coming in here. Do I have a caller coming in here? Wait a minute. I think I do. Wait. I think there's a call coming in. Hold on. What's he saying?
Give this man a beer.
No, yeah. Wait a minute. You get a cone of beer just for being on our show.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, no, really, Max, thanks again, and we'll definitely be in touch, and all the very best.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Thank you, sweetheart. You take care. Be safe.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Amanda, my love,
yes,
you had
darling.
A good weekend. So good. So that was a fun conversation. I really enjoyed, you know, that was always fun. And sometimes I guess we get carried away and we start talking music and production, and because that's kind of, you know, I said early on before you came onto the program today that, you know, we have somebody in music biz, somebody's produced music and so forth. That's exciting to us because that's kind of what our real jobs are. And, you know, we have people on the show from all walks of life, and it's great to be able to do, but when somebody comes
Absolutely.
In from the music biz, it's kind of
yeah.
really cool. And even though there's a whole bunch of news I want to, there's a whole bunch of things I want to touch on, and there's news that I'm sure you want to touch on too, but we're winding down now with a couple
yeah.
minutes left of our show. So I'll pick up the conversation on Wednesday, and of course this show will be repeated several times today and Tuesday, tomorrow, the 6th of April. You believe it's April already? Is that unbelievable?
I know, right? It's gone so quick.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes,
really?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Although not quick enough, because I got a hair appointment on the 19th. I've been waiting to get my hair cut for so long. It's a lockdown.
Oh, send me I want a picture. You got to send me a picture. I want a picture.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I definitely want a picture. I haven't got – you know something? Because you have pictures of me, because you do all the artwork for our show. I haven't had a haircut in over a year.
Oh, wow. A year.
I've been taking a shower in a year and a half. No, I'm kidding. No.
Oh, you seem to be I don't know, cleaned.
I can't wait till we meet.
I know, right? Oh my goodness. I was trying to think of the right words to express it. No, Amanda, go for clean. Go for clean.
You know, it's been, you know, but in order to, you know, yeah, it's been a long time. I figured when COVID hit that I wasn't going to do a damn thing, and, you know, I'd be walking down the street and, you know.
You're adoring fans.
Well, it's either that or they're running away from me. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Do you believe in ghosts?
You know. Yes. But anyway, no, I haven't had a haircut in over a year. And it's cool, you know, it's maybe we'll get a haircut on the Andy and Amanda show. Andy and Amanda, I did it again. The Andy and Amanda show. The Andy and Amanda show. God.
I also happen to call him a lightweight, okay? And I have.
Yeah, see, I know, you know, yeah. I'm trying.
It's okay, Andy. I, you know, all is forgiven, darling.
Oh, God.
Who am I? Why am I here?
I don't know.
Very valid question.
So I guess we need to go. As much as we've been waiting for this moment all show. No, we.
They're not meant to know that.
Yeah, really, you know, but we are, as we always say, you know, we are.
We are executing on our plan.
Yes, we are. So, Amanda, take us home, my love.
Okay, on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love, in somewhere in the UK, thanks for being with us for another show, and thanks, Max, for coming on and expressing all about the music industry. Join us on Wednesday for another show, and that's if you want to. You may be bored of us by then, but we hope you come back, so we love you.
You bet. See you next time, folks. All the best, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.
Bye.